we're continuing our series that we've been doing for the last few weeks, and continuing on from where Russ left us off last week in Ephesians 4 in verse 17. So he was telling us about the church as a body, and that with the help of the Spirit, we find unity. And so we're one we're one in Christ, but we also have diversity. We're given gifts. So he spoke about unity, diversity, and together with unity and diversity, we actually grow in maturity in Christ. And so Russ covered all of that last week. I think it should be on there if you want to follow up on that. But today we're going to continue on from that. So that's he sort of left you at this point where we're growing. Where do we actually go from here? And so I want to look at this in the sense of the fact that we need to get dressed to get going. Because if you want to go out, you know, the first thing you got to do is get dressed. Jeanette and I went out for breakfast in Heighton to a new place where we could have breakfast, because Jeanette's not sort of up to cooking a lot of breakfast with her finger. Sorry, wrong hand. But whilst we were there, one of the couples that came into the breakfast place was a girl in her pajamas. Now, I don't know if that's a done thing here or something, but maybe it is. But we were just sort of thinking, that's not really how you dress up to go out. And so when we as Christians, we need to dress up to go out. We need to make sure we're rightly dressed to go out. So let's start by turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse, our series is Living as Children of Light. So we're covering living as children of light. As a matter of fact, today we're going to be talking about dressing to go into the light. So let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 22. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." And I'm going to end this in mid-sentence. We'll continue the sentence just now, but you'll see it ends in a comma there. It's very bad, actually, English, to stop in a comma, but we're going to do that, because we're going to talk here about the first thing you do. Before you can actually go out, if you want to get changed, do you know that you've got to take off your old clothes first? It gets rather tricky if you just keep putting clothes on, you know, to end up with everything on. We have to take off our old clothes. And of course, we know when we talk about becoming a Christian, and we've spoken about it a few times, even mentioned it today, that when we come to Christ, you're born again. Do you know that means you've started again? You're starting brand new. You're starting afresh. All the rest has been wiped away, and you can go out fresh with Christ now. And that's wonderful. The problem is, you know, I don't know if you know this, but it's like if you've ever moved from one town to another town, or if you've gone from one school to another school, when you first go, on your first day you go there, you think, I can be whoever I want to be when I get there, because nobody there knows me. So I can be this new person. And when you get there, you discover you can be this new person. The problem you got is you've got your old person, you, that's gone with you. And so you end up becoming exactly like you were somewhere else. You always take yourself along with you. And unfortunately, this happens when we become Christians. You are new in Christ. And we had this, what Donna was explaining about the body, soul, and spirit there, that we can look to the Spirit and we can be totally new. The problem is, we often have that old clothes still with us. We still have our old dress with us. We're still dressed like Doctor Who, instead of being dressed like James Bond, you know. So we still have our old dress with us, and we take that with. And there was a course that we did some years ago. It was called Curses to Blessings, and then they changed its name to Ancient Paths, and I don't know what it's called now. But anyway, there's a lot of number of courses like this, and they're wonderful courses. They actually, what they do is they have people that come in, and they share with you about strongholds they've had in their life, and they'll have someone come and share who is actually where God has actually helped them to overcome that stronghold. So it's people sharing about the issues they've gone through and how in Christ they've had victory over that. And it's always wonderful to hear that, because often as soon as someone starts sharing, you'll listen to it and think, oh, I thought it was just me that was going through that. I thought I'm the only one that was suffering like that. And then you realize, no, this is actually something that all of us are actually having to deal with. And we had one guy that came up, and he came to the front, and he was talking, and he spoke about the fact that he had an issue with pornography. And he was struggling with pornography as a teenager. And he then, of course, he thought, well, when I get married, I'll no longer have this problem. Got married, still had the problem of pornography, you know. Then he thought, well, no problem. And then, and as he went on, he actually ended up becoming one of the elders in the church. And he still had this problem with pornography. It was still something that he was fighting. So, he used to get victory over it, and it would last a while, and then he'd fall back into it again. And this went on for quite a while. And then he went on, he actually went to one of these things where he actually found someone else who was going through the same issue. And he was able to go and share with that person about what he was going through. And this guy actually shared something with him, which I thought was quite profound. So simple, but simple is often the most profound. Haven't you found that? And he spoke about the fact that what was wrong was he had created a habit with his pornography. It had become, it's like a path. If you've ever gone through, you've got these lovely lawns and you have these big signs up that say, don't walk on the grass. Do you know the reason why people put those signs up there? Because you sort of think, well, you've got grass there. You want to walk on it. The reason they got there is because if people walk on it, they tend to walk on it over one section. And what actually happens, if a lot of people walk over a lawn in one part, what actually happens? You end up with a path. It ends up going hard and you end up with no grass growing there, and that becomes a path that people can walk on. And then, of course, once people can see that path, it becomes the thing that people go to and start walking on. And eventually, if you start doing it, it'll actually end up becoming like a little culvert, and you end up sort of a lovely path that you're going through. So that's how when you start a path, it's like a habit. Anything that you're doing, you start off doing it the first time, it doesn't leave a mark. But the next time, you leave a groove that you're on. But then it becomes something easy to fall into. When you come to that part of the lawn, you immediately go to that path. And there are often triggers that will actually take you to that path. And he was talking about the fact that he had these triggers, that things that would happen, and he would fall back into the habit. And of course, these habits had formed over many years. So what do you do to break that? Now, Christ has given you the strength to break it, but you now have to break it in what you're actually doing. You have to somehow take off that old way of life. And what you've got to do is you've got to create a new habit. You have to create another path that is there. And let me tell you, it's not easy, because you'll often fall back in. But of course, we know in Christ, we're not doing this to be saved. We're doing this because we're saved. We're doing this because he's trying to get us to live free, because he has freed us. And so we're doing it from actually a very strong point, but we can now create a new path. We can create a new journey, but it takes effort. As a matter of fact, I had one friend who actually explained, he said, what you've got to do is you've got to be very severe with your environment, but be very gentle with yourself. Because often what actually happens is we end up berating ourselves, isn't it? I failed again, you know, and we start beating ourselves up. But in actual fact, Christ tells us, if your hand causes you to sin, cut your hand off. We need to, and that's, by the way, don't go cutting your hands off. That's called hyperbole. It's talking about the fact that we need to actually cut off the thing in our environment, that trigger that's actually causing the problem. And that can be, it can be anything that's in there, but it does mean we have to come to a point of actually putting that off. We have to create a new habit. We have to create a habit that is going to lead us towards Christ, not away from him. And we need to, and of course, you will fail, by the way, because we're human. We're made up of body and soul and flesh, and that we're actually are human in what we're doing. And one of the good things about being human, what's it? To err is human. To really mess things up requires a computer. But it's but to err is human is actually a part of life. It's not though an excuse to stay there. God has not called us to stay there. He wants us to live in victory, and we can live in victory from this. Have you noticed as well, when Paul was describing this in that passage I was looking at, did you notice some of the phrases he was using? He says, they were darkened in their understanding, the futility of their minds, the hardness of their hearts, becoming calloused. They're all things about getting harder and harder and darker and darker. And it's interesting that sin is actually things that you want to do in the dark. It's things that you don't want anyone else to see. And unfortunately, what God does, he brings it into the light. The one thing you'll see, that we're talking, this whole thing is about walking in the light. God will always bring what we're doing and take it straight into the light. Now, the nice thing about being in the light is that you can see what's going on. The horrible thing about being in the light is that you can see what's going on. It's a you know, Jeanette, for example, she had this accident with her hand. If you want to show them your hand, she sort of crushed her finger, and so she then, when I went downstairs, there was everything there. But of course, now when she's getting it fixed, they take off. So while she's got it all covered in that, it's okay. It's sort of concealed. But of course, when they get to the doctor, they take off the bandages and that to have a look at it. And of course, they don't go into a darkened room to look at it. You know, what they do is they make sure they're in a nice bright room with lights everywhere so that we can all see very clearly what's going on there. I'm a little bit squeamish. I don't really want to see those sort of things. But to be honest, to fix it, you've got to be able to see it. And that's the same with your sin. God brings it into the light. And unfortunately, when he brings it into the light, it means sometimes we get to see our sin better than we, you know, when you were in the dark, you don't always know you're sinning. The people lost in the world, they don't know they're in sin. But now that you're in the light, God's light will shine on it. You will be able to see. And suddenly it'll highlight that that's not good. But he doesn't highlight it to belittle you. He doesn't highlight it to put you down. He highlights it so that you can actually heal it. He highlights it so that you can, that he can help you deal with it. And he doesn't even leave you to deal with it on your own. Do you know that he is in you to do that? And that brings us to the next point. If you want to read the next two verses from that comma, Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, it says, "And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness." It's all very well, God giving us these things, but you know, you've got to actually put them on. You have to do this. And notice where it starts. It starts in the mind. And Jeanette likes to take me shopping for clothes. I hate going shopping for clothes. I don't know if that's a man thing or whatever. I would rather you go, like this jersey, by the way, this lovely jersey Jeanette got me. She actually bought this. She went and bought this without me having to try it on. I was quite thrilled. But when I got it, it didn't fit. So she had to take it back and get another one, which is why she likes me to go along and actually try things on. And I can see that it's a valid reason. But you want to know, all the ladies are agreeing for some reason. But anyway, I don't see a lot of men nodding. So this is a, but you know that with this, we need to try something on first. You need to make sure it fits, that you can actually put it on. And you know that if you want to walk in righteousness, you need to try it on first. And where do you try it on first? It's in your mind. It all starts in your mind. Do you know, where does sin start? Sin starts in your mind. Where does righteousness start? In your mind. And I don't know if you've ever seen children getting presents. I love seeing children getting presents because they get so excited. There's this box that they're going to get. And when they open it, and when it's what they've been waiting for, their joy and excitement is just, don't you get so thrilled with it? And then occasionally they don't get what they were actually expecting. And unfortunately, a child, you can see the devastation because, of course, this is not what they wanted. And I think maybe we train ourselves as we get older so that we end up not expecting the present that we are getting. And unfortunately, I think we tend to do this with God. We go in there not expecting him to sort us out, not expecting him to heal, not expecting him to come through. And yet God is looking for faith. And he's not looking for, by the way, so what a lot of people do, a lot of Christians, we'll go there and we'll work up our faith. And I'm gonna be faithful. I loved the comedy book I had once where a guy says he's gonna start small. God says you can move mountains, so you've got a paperclip. He's gonna start with that. but it's not about working up the faith. It's about how real your faith is. Do you really believe God? And the thing is, you can put on a show, by the way. I can make it look like I have a lot of faith, but God can see right past all of that to the you in the middle. And to me, the most truest verse in the Bible is the man that went up to Christ and he said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Because that's where we all are. But you know that God is there. That man has faith. That man is being real. God wants you to be real. But we need to believe that he's there. And you know that if it starts in the mind, where we start believing in the mind, believe that God can do this. And you know, it's not just a matter about the power of the mind, but I believe Jesus is real. I don't know if you, I believe Jesus is actually here. I believe the Holy Spirit is actually within me. If you believe he's real, then you believe that if you have faith in him, he can come through. Now, he's not a genie. So in other words, you can't manipulate him, think, well, if I have enough faith, I can get God to do anything. He's God. You know, you are the created. He is the creator. But he actually loves to see faith, and he loves to move with faith. And the problem we have as well, maybe just as a side, something I just put in here, is the I mentioned before about the fact that we're children of light, but we want to go do things in the dark. Have you ever noticed that sin's often in the dark? It's a, you know, you want to do it away from everyone else. And I don't know if you ever noticed with sin, but it's a bit like Jesus is with you, say, and you're going walking with him, and you now want to go sin. And now let's just say that there's a club there called sin, and you want to go to this club. Well, you got Jesus with you. You can't very well take Jesus into the club with you. So what you do is you go for a walk through the park, you find a lovely bench, and you say, Jesus, don't you want to just sit on this tree, wait here by the bench, I'm just going to pop out for a bit. And then you go to the club, but you leave him behind. You don't take him with. Now, what I'm actually talking about here is the problem is when we sin, we tend to try and avoid Jesus. Do you want to know, if you want to deal with your sin, bring Jesus with you. Let me tell you, going into that club with Jesus with you would make a very different situation to going in there on your own. If you're being tempted, at the time that you're being tempted, that's when you need to talk to Jesus. And not to come up holy as thou. Remember that he knows you. He knows what your struggle is. He knows your weakness. And he has the power to actually help you. We need to bring him with us at that time. And as I said, if it's just thoughts, that's wonderful. But I believe Jesus is real. I believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus can help me. I believe Jesus will help me. Now you can actually move with that. But it's got to be that faith that comes from within. And if you don't have that faith, by the way, this isn't when you start berating yourself saying, well, I don't have that faith. Talk to Jesus about it. You know, if he's real, he can actually, you know, he can actually correspond with us. And that brings us to the third point. Let's just read this. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 25. And he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. We need to now, the third point is, we need to put on the new clothes. We've taken off the old clothes. We've taken out the new clothes, but you need to put them on. We need to, and to put them on means that we need to do something with them. You know, Christ doesn't call us to give us all of this and then just, now we can sit in our rooms and think, this is wonderful. I can just stay here. What's it, that person who was praying and said, Lord, today I haven't lied. I haven't cheated. I haven't said anything wrong to anyone. I haven't done anything bad, and I've been totally good. But I'm about to get out of bed, so you're going to have to help me. that's where we all are, isn't it? It's we need God right from the beginning, from when we get up. But he goes through a list here of things of what we need to put on when we go out. And you'll notice that in this list, everything is to do with your relationship with others. You know, that God calls us, and a lot of people might look at this and think, but don't I, if I follow God, don't I lose myself? You know, where's the me in all of this? Well, let me tell you, in one sense, you do lose yourself because we spoke there about surrender, because you're surrendering. But in the real sense, the real you will come through. It's not you that you're going to lose, but God is actually going to help you in your relationship with him and in your relationship with others. Remember that he is love. He is holiness. He is all the good things that he is calling you to. And he now starts talking about some of the things that you're going to do. And the first thing that he mentions here is speaking the truth, putting away all falsehood and speaking the truth to each other. We need to, then to me, this is, we've got to bring everything into the light. The one thing we've got to do is to be honest with each other. It doesn't mean, by the way, being blatantly honest where you actually just blurt things out and upset people. That's not love. but it does mean bringing things into the light. And if you bring things into the light, you do know that it's going to reveal not just what you want to see, but everything else. I know at work, I often have bosses. They'll come to me and they'll say, because I'm an accountant and you know all the numbers and that, we want you to do an audit. I'm sure Pete will actually be able to associate with this. But we want you to do an order of these numbers. Now, and you want to go through this. And I want you, and what I want you to do is to show how that director or that person is actually misusing the funds. So you say, okay, fine. So you do an audit and you pull out all the figures. But the problem is, if you're doing a proper audit, you're going to shine a light on all the numbers. And generally, when you shine the light on all the numbers, you say, so there's where that guy was misusing it, and here's where you were misusing it. And the guy goes, whoa, no, I didn't want to see that. But that's what the thing is. When you bring it into the light, and especially, you know, often we think that speaking the truth, it's going to shine the light on someone else. Let me tell you, it often shines the light on yourself. And we need to then start, and you want to know something. If you tell the truth, you never have to remember it. If you tell a lie, you're always going to have to remember it, because you're going to have to remember what you've said so that you don't get caught out later on. You know, and then that lie will actually lead to another lie, which will lead to another lie. I know with myself, one of the things that I am quite fortunate is that I struggle to lie. Even when it's a good lie, by the way, because there are some good lies, but if you're going to give someone a surprise on something, it's something good that's going to happen. But I'm not very good at that, because the teachers at school learned that. And so what they used to do is they used to look at the class and go, Clark, who was making a noise? Was it so-and-so? And then I would just start squirming because, you know, there's no way I was going to say anything to say who it was. But I knew that if they mentioned the person who it was, they would soon know exactly who it was. It was just from all my reaction. But God wants us to speak the truth in love. The next point he brings up, so that's bringing things into the light. He then talks about anger. Do you know that anger is not actually bad in itself? Because, you know, there are things you'll see which are bad that make you angry. That's not a problem. The problem is we stay there. And if you stay in anger, then it becomes a problem. You look at riots. Often a riot will happen because people have gone there to make a point that they want to establish. But then they stay there. And it then starts ratcheting itself up. And when anger then ratchets itself up, people get hurt and things get destroyed. And that's not good. That is never of Christ. So anger, that's why he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He doesn't say, just never get angry, because that anger will come. And even God has righteous anger. But make sure that you don't let your anger get out of control. And of course, that's, again, where we take Jesus with us. The next thing he talks there is about the fact that we need to be able to work. He says, if you used to steal, no, now you need to work. You know, you need to put your hands to good use. There's that saying about, you know, the devil loves idle hands. And it's not actually from the Bible, but it's actually, I think, from this sort of area that we actually got that saying from. If you leave children in a room, if you don't give them something to do and you leave them there alone, when you come back, they will have got up to something. And it's generally not the good thing that you wanted them to get up to. So God also wants us to be people who are willing to work, who are willing to get involved in doing things. And of course, that doesn't mean that you work all the time. Rest is also a part of God's plan. But it does mean that we have to be willing to be part of what's actually going on. And then he talks about our language. Jeanette and I came across something interesting in this part of the world where we were told, and both of us have been told it separately at work, that if someone uses bad language and swears a lot, it's a sign that they're honest and you can trust them. I don't know where that came from. But it's quite funny that we both had it given to us. I don't know if that's other people had that experience, but it's not true. That is actually not true. As a matter of fact, your language can actually either offend people or it can build people. And we should always be talking to want to build people up. It's never about trying to pull someone else down or to show yourself better than someone else. What Christ wants us to do is to get to a point where we're helping others to grow and to build them. And in all of this, do you know that that's a list of quite a lot of things I've told you about doing? I don't know if you noticed that. There's quite a, you know, here we were talking about grace in the beginning, and now suddenly I've given you this whole list of things that we've got to try and accomplish. And I love the fact that at the end he talks there about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Realize that in all of this, it's not about achieving a to-do list. It's not about, you know, ticking this off and you're achieving this. It's about growing. It's a relationship. It's growing. It's something that we're growing in. It's something that we're becoming. If you allow Christ to have part of your life, you'll find yourself growing in these areas. And you'll find that he will highlight the areas that you need to grow in. You don't need to grow in all of them all at once, but he will highlight the areas you need to grow in. But he talks there about grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had some people say that the Holy Spirit is so gentle that you do the slightest thing wrong and he flees from you. That's totally untrue. The Holy Spirit is God. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit split the Red Sea. The Holy Spirit created the whole universe. The Holy Spirit is divine. He's powerful. But he's holy. He's pure. And the problem is, if you like, holiness and sin don't actually mix. And where does the Holy Spirit reside now? He's in me. So if you're taking yourself into sin, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're taking him into areas where you know, he's holy. You're taking something holy into an unholy situation. So we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is there. But the Holy Spirit is there in those situations can help us. He is there to actually give us that power to point us to Jesus and to help us to come apart. You know that he can actually even change the circumstances you're in. Because as I was saying with Jesus, I believe Jesus is real and I believe Jesus is God. Do you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is real and I believe the Holy Spirit is God and that he is there for your good. He is there to help. He's been given to you not as your sort of a person to condemn. He's been given there to empower. He's been given there to help you to be a witness for Christ. And just remember in all of this, though, Christ has set us free from sin, but he has not set us free to sin. And that's, I think, one of the problems. Often we think we're free so I can now carry on sinning. You've never been set free to carry on sinning. Christ has set you free because sin is a wicked master. We've been set free from that. Why would you get yourself trapped there again? And so he ends off by, talking about the Holy Spirit, he ends off by telling us to be kind to one another and to know that Jesus has accepted and forgiven us, to be kind and forgiving. Do you know that when you try and do all of this, if you look at the things about what you want to do walking into the light, all of us are going to fail. All of us are going to fall down in all of this. We're human, as I said, and to err is human. But God will forgive us. God is forgiving. God is actually, if we go to him and humbly repent, he will take us in and forgive us. How much more are we willing to do that to others? How much more then are we, if he's extending that to us, how much more can we extend that to others? And so he calls on us to be forgiving of others as well. So that's basically, that takes us through that whole passage there. Russ actually showed us last week about how we are part of the body. This is now just how we can grow as part of the body. And he actually had a picture of I don't know if that can be the knee of sitting, walking, and standing. And how in Ephesians 1 and 2, you know, basically it's we're sitting with Christ. You're sitting, you know, it's actually you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And then in what we've been looking at over this past period is our walking. You know, how we can actually walk with Christ, how you can take Christ with you into the world where you're actually going. And I think we're going to probably continue a bit with that. We need to realize that we have, Christ has taken, when he died on the cross, he took our sinful nature away. And he's offered us, the clothes we put on are actually the clothes of Christ. And they're clothes that were made to fit us. It's clothes that he's prepared for you from all eternity, tailored for you to fit you. But you need to put them on so that we can actually go out in those perfect clothes. So he'll take our sin and brokenness. He's going to give us his perfect clothes of righteousness. And he's willing to walk with us together and in a loving, caring way as we grow in maturity to be more like Jesus every day. Amen.